This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy, 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 joy.
Joy. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Nevena. Our next guest, Nevena, is Mrs. Schubert, who is the inaugural CEO of a new organisation called the Super Members Council. Good morning, Misha. How are you?
Good. I'm really well. Lovely to be with you both. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great. Tell us about the Super Members Council, because it's a newly formed organisation to represent, I think it will be more than 10 million members of super funds in Australia. Tell us about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Indeed. So thank you for the opportunity. We, as you say, we were a very newly formed organisation created late in 2023 to really make sure that 10 million Australians who invest their retirement savings in profit to member funds have a voice into the policy making processes, because policies and laws that happen at that federal level in the federal parliament and in policies set by federal government departments can really powerfully, materially affect all of the kind of superannuation system. So the idea, the big picture vision, was to create a really powerful voice to make sure that all of us who have our savings in super for our retirement can be represented into those processes to keep our super system strong and secure, and continuing to evolve as more and more Australians approach retirement. So fascinatingly, we're about to see over the next decade 2.5 million Australians will kind of be approaching retirement.
Yep.
So a silver tsunami, if you like. So we really need to think about what are the next things that need to be done to build out the part of the superannuation system that enables people to make the right choices for them in retirement.
Misha, it's Nevena here, and I used to work in superannuation.
Oh,
and I know, shock, horror. But one of the things that really has always weighed heavy on my heart, and it was the subject of a parliamentary inquiry titled "A Husband Is Not a Retirement Plan," and it really goes to show that over our lifetimes as women, we, as a consequence of taking on child rearing and taking time off work, that we will significantly have less super than men. And that has a whole range of consequences, from, we don't want to bore everyone, but compound interest and all these other reasons. But can you tell us what is happening in super at the moment, and why in particular it's better for women's financial security?
That's I'm so pleased to hear that you'd had that kind of visibility and vantage point into the system. You're absolutely right. When we look at the large-scale data, at the moment, women typically retire with about a third less super than men, and that's a consequence of a range of factors, including the gender equity pay gap, but also, as you say, because in our society, women still bear that lion's share of the time out of the paid workforce when people are forming families and having young children. And so typically, those periods of time for women had been kind of either unpaid, or now, thanks to policy changes over the last decade, there are now forms of paid parental leave that both parents can access when there's a two-parent family. But we were really excited 2 weeks ago when the Australian government announced that they would add superannuation payments to paid parental leave, to the government paid parental leave scheme. Some people are lucky enough to be with an employer who pays super on their additional employer contributions on in paid parental leave. But this would add it to the government scheme, which has just been, will move from 20 to 26 weeks over the course of the next couple of years, thanks to legislation passed recently in the parliament as well. That's going to make a powerful difference. We've done some modelling as the Super Members Council that shows for typically a mother who might have 2 children and was able to access the super on paid parental leave going forward, that would make $14,500 difference to her retirement. So a big difference.
We've seen, Misha, you know, reform in this area in terms of, you know, Superfund members, you know, in my community, for decades, the situation was that if you had a same-sex partner and you died and they were the beneficiary, even nominated beneficiary of your superannuation, sometimes that didn't always go the way it should, but that for years or for decades, any benefit paid to your partner was subject to their marginal tax rate because they weren't classified, you know, as your spouse. Now, that changed a few, quite a few years ago now, but we see with the addition of superannuation being paid on paid parental leave, when I look at, and, you know, I'm a member of a super fund, I think, you know, as 10 million of us are, but the reality is that the level of engagement or the amount of information that members get and the ability of members to ask questions or to seek clarification from their super fund in some cases is really difficult. And we've seen with the Australian Financial Complaints Authority the huge rise in complaints about super funds. So as the inaugural CEO, do you have a, can I ask you, you probably have a list, but, you know, if there's a few things that you'd really like the new council to achieve and to advocate on, what would they be?
It's a great question. And yeah, I'm acutely conscious of that history. And one of the things that we will do as the new super members council is look for opportunities to advocate to advance equity, in, you know, all it's formed in the super system. One of the things, just about that sort of, situation where someone passes away that I don't think is widely enough understood is the ability for people to make what they call a binding death nomination. So some people think just putting, you know, your preferred beneficiary name on a form or on an app now increasingly is sufficient. But there's actually a sort of next level up of sort of formality that's called a binding death nomination.
Yes.
And what that does is it basically tells the trustees of your super fund, this is the person to whom I would like this to go in the event that I pass away. So I think there's an opportunity for us to kind of, you know, re-telegraph and a really important public education role on things like that to make more people aware of how that system, that part of the system works and the opportunity to make a binding nomination. More broadly, I think the sorts of things that we are really conscious of, yes, we want to see really good, excellent standards of responsiveness and service across the super system to members. And I think there's a huge opportunity for our country to, particularly as people are, you know, moving towards retirement, but it also applies at every stage of our lives, to say to people, actively engage with your super and your super fund, ask questions, be really actively involved, because the more actively involved you are, the more capacity you've got to sort of have those moments where you think, oh, actually, I need to make a choice here. And some of those choices sometimes can make a really powerful difference to how much money you end up with at the point of retirement. So we've done a big submission to a review on the retirement phase of the system that the Federal Treasury has been running over the last several months to call out the need for, we think there's a huge appetite for more access to what we call low-cost or no-cost advice, but not the full-blown kind of detailed plan perhaps, but just those occasional touch points where, you know, we've all got busy lives, haven't we? And you can't always sort of find huge amounts of time to really sort of focus on these things or ask questions. But if we have a broadening of those access points for low-cost, no-cost advice, people can just ring up and say, look, can I just double-check what kind of product I'm in? You know, the more we do that, the more people will be able to retire with stronger levels of financial support in their retirement.
Misha, can I tell you, I'm literally staring down at my updated non-binding beneficiary form, which I had Macca sign this morning. So
I'm not the beneficiary, though.
No, good.
And Misha, perhaps I'd love to get you to explain, we've talked briefly about what the policy change is and why it's important, but can you just step out a little bit more about why paying super on parental leave is an effective measure of bridging the gender equity gap and how it manages to do so?
Absolutely. So we did some really detailed analysis and modelling of looking at what's actually happening in that gender pay gap within the super system that was released a little bit earlier this year. And it's always fascinating when you dig into those large scale data sets to look at, well, what's actually happening for people? Because sometimes in policy discussion, people can have an idea that they think is right, but it's like, well, what does the data and the evidence now show us about maybe what's happening? That set of analysis had some heartening news, but also some less than heartening news. So it showed that for women in every other decade of their working lives, that gender gap in super is starting to close, not fast enough, but it's starting to close. But for women in their 30s, actually, it's not narrowing. And so that, you know, when we think about what's happening in people's lives, that's typically a decade in which many, it's most likely that for many women who choose to have children, that's probably the decade in your life when that would happen. And so that showed us really starkly out of the large data that is absolutely a contributing factor for not having super paid unpaid parental leave. Those gaps in people's time in the paid workforce are absolutely a contributing factor. So we've commended the Australian government's announcement that they're going to move to do that. It'll start to apply from July 1 in 2025, so from next year. And we think that's going to make a really powerful difference. 180,000people are going to be able to access that scheme going forward each year. That's a big number of Australians, and that's going to be year on year on year, so 180,000 one year and the next. To help close that current gap that would be $14,500. The other thing that we think would be a logical next piece of work for policymakers to consider is listing a little known about instrument called the LISTO, the Low Income Super Tax Offset. Mm. And this is about essentially it's sort of a super tax break for low income earners, yeah. Very low income earners. That's currently we basically think that if you move that income scale up for where the LISTO takes effect from people who earn $37,000 a year up to $45,000 a year, those two changes, adding super to PPL and lifting the LISTO, would help to ensure that women are $40,000 better off at retirement. So an even bigger difference again to really powerfully close that gap.
We see, you know, in the final couple of minutes we've got, Misha, that, you know, governments of all colours have, with regard to superannuation, fiddled, changed the rules. Mm. And, you know, do you see any of that on the horizon? There's a big money pot or honey pot there that the government, would probably like to put their hands into. Do you see, you know, anything on the horizon that, governments of or oppositions mm. might be thinking about?
It's a great question, and I think you're absolutely right that Australians really don't want people that they're very nervous about a whole lot of changes being made all the time to super and want to really ensure that the system is stable and secure and keeps delivering really strongly for all Australians. But I think one of the things that's going to help is a piece of legislation that's currently before the Australian Parliament. It's working its way through now, and it actually cleared the House of Representatives last week. And it basically would set in law an objective for the super system. So it would just actually enshrine the purpose of superannuation, which, as all of us know, is your money for retirement. Mm-hmm. but it would put that powerfully into a piece of legislation. And what that would do is also enable, create a system where on all future policy changes in superannuation, the Parliament would be invited to basically just look at those proposed changes, sit them against the legislated objective of super, and then just say, well, how does this fit with that kind of big picture vision for what this system is meant to do for Australians? So we think that would be that's going to be a really important, additional piece of the policy puzzle to give that sort of guiding light to policymakers from, you know, going forward and make sure that, you know, you don't have a series of just ad hoc changes that don't really think about the system as a whole but really are very mindful of the system as a whole. So we'd like to see that legislation passed. We think it's going to be a really important contribution to dealing with exactly what you've just outlined, that opportunity to think, yeah, well, how does the system work as a whole?
We're going to keep a watching brief on that, Misha,
and we'd love to have you back on the show. I think it's really important to keep having
budgets in May. Yes. You never know. The grubby, little hands of Treasury, not the Treasurer, might want to, in the past, with death benefits, they've loved to put their hand in someone's coffin. So let's see what might happen in May. I welcome your appointment. I think it's a really important appointment. The overwhelming majority of super funds do a really good job for their members. There are some rogue funds out there that have customer service. You know, that, let's face it, if they were subject to that level of customer service, they'd be complaining. But some of the super funds don't do it. So I look forward to your advocacy in holding some of them to account, because it's hard for members to do it.
Mm.
Well, we really want to see those service standards be absolutely high. Yeah. So thank you for the opportunity today. I'd love to come back and, you know, I'm not in the business of giving financial advice, but really my role is to kind of really highlight the ways in which the super system works,
yeah,
because the more of us who understand it, the more actively engaged
absolutely
we can be. So thank you so much.
Here, here. Thank you,
thanks
Misha.
So much. We've been speaking with Misha Schubert, the inaugural CEO of the Super Members Council. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Disclaimer, Nevena has super, I have super, Paul has super, our next guest has super. We all have super. We need to pay attention to it. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.